Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Baby.
Oh my God, it's happening.
It's good to see you.
It's wonderful to see you. Wonderful to see you.
I haven't been seeing enough of you, frankly.
I know. We've seen each other every day.
Every single day.
Every single day. We see each other.
I've been exhausted, honestly, from the sheer amount of time spent hanging with you. I was fast asleep on a Saturday night last night at midnight, I want to say, was when I knocked out. And Chris came home, woke me up from slumber, and said, I've got a funny story for you. You know my setup, face mask, silk head wrap. You know the helmet.
Yeah, I do know the helmet. Yeah, you're completely anonymous in sleep.
It covers your
ears.
You
could be anyone.
Your eyes, your voice. Yes. It's like the stormtrooper of sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really
absolutely.
Is. So he comes home, I'm in the helmet, and he's like, I've got a funny story. It's okay. I can just tell you in the morning. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, wait, let me just tell you now really quickly. Like, oh my God. Do you want to know what the story was?
Yeah, I'm desperate to know, actually.
That his friends of friends brought this girl who was an actress on the show Dave. And she had dated multiple NBA players. That was the story.
Oh my God.
He was like, she was in a relationship with Kevin Durant. And she said he was very singular. And I was like,
oh my God. A man's idea of gossip is.
He thought that was like the hottest tea. Kevin Durant loved basketball. She said, can you believe it? Like, was obsessed with basketball. And I was like, yeah, I believe it. Like, he is in the top 1% players of the world. Was there anything else to add? Or
I love that sort of when people share information that they think is going to rock the world.
Yes.
You know, and I've seen this happen live so many times where people come in and they're like, oh my God, I have something to say. It's like that girl we went to high school with, married, when it lands with a thud and everyone is like, yeah.
I do that often, I feel like, with things that I quote unquote discover, which are just beauty treatments that have been around for what feels like the millennia. Mm-hmm. But recently I got, do you know what PRP is?
Yes, I know what PRP. Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know the injections?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So recently I went to get a mole removed and I was like, tell me to my clinic person. I was like, tell me about like PRP. And she was like, oh, we could do it right now. We charge $150. And I was like, that sounds right to me.
Let's do it.
I was like, let's do it. So they extract the plasma from your blood, which is like kind of like the fatty
golden bit.
Yes. They process your blood through a centrifuge and kind of pull out this clear liquid and then they inject it back into your face. I would say the results are minimal to none, but you best believe I went into work the next day. It's like, look at my face. Yeah. And the subpar reaction I got of like a, oh cool.
No, not cool. Not cool.
No, not as different. It's like when you get a trim and you're like, look, I took off inches. And they're like, really? It's do you notice anything different about me? That's what it is.
I sort of combined those worlds. The last time that I got microneedling, which was my last like treatment. And
I've never had that.
Honestly, I liked it. I feel like I did notice a bit of a difference. I am breaking out now because I refuse to wash my face or put moisturizer on in the end of the day. I, for some reason, can't keep up at this time. But I scheduled microneedling and a haircut and blowout on the same day and walked into the hair salon with my face looking like ground beef because when you microneedle, you bleed. Like it's, you know, you're jabbing little
needles. It's invasive.
Yeah, it is. And you're really not supposed to touch your face at all the day that it's happened. You're not even supposed to wash it. So basically, it's like as you're bleeding, all the blood is just like, you know, little
stuck
puddles, some areas bloodier than others. And then I was instructed, like, do not touch this at all. Don't even wash your face. Like, just let all of this like dry. And then tomorrow you can wash your face. So I walked into my hair appointment and I felt the need to address it immediately where I like walked in and three women sitting in chairs, clients, and then also some of the women working looked at me and I said,
"Strangers,
I know my face is bloody. Let's address the elephant in the room. I just got microneedling. I'm so sorry. You have to look at me right now." And they were like, "Oh no, like we barely didn't even notice." And that was a lie. That was a kind lie.
I gotta say, I heard one of the best pickup lines, which that tale just reminds me of.
Tell me.
I created a group chat, and I think more people should do this. I created a group chat, and no one knows who is in the group chat. It's a random bunch of numbers. And I was like, I'm gonna add face cards. Like, I'm gonna create like a Devil Wears Prada portfolio, so everyone knows that this like 312 number is this person, a little bit of a tidbit background information, and a photo of them.
Brilliant. I was asleep when you sent it, woke up, greatest joy of my life.
I'm texting one of the friends individually in the group, and she was like, "Oh my God, genius." And I said, "It's really making me realize how beautiful like these girls are, like when put together. It's very like Ray Shrimmered. I don't got no type. Like bad bitches are the only thing they like. Like Ashley is Indonesian, Eclean is Latina, like you are Eastern European, you know." Like this was the chat, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's Mambo number 5, a little bit of Monica on the side, like a little Ivana in my life, you know." It was that. Yeah. And so I say this to her, and she responds, "Yeah, but like, look who brought us together. Actually, I don't blame you if you haven't looked in a while. It does hurt."
Oh,
I know. I need to kind of break that down a little bit more.
Oh my God. So beautiful that it's painful to look.
It hurts. It's painful to look.
No, and that's smooth. It's sort of like blink and you'll miss it. Blink and you'll miss it. And that's the thing where people go wrong with pickup lines. They go, "It's too loud. It's too much. They're doing too much."
"Actually hurts to look sometimes, so it's okay if you haven't lately."
Wow. Did you get butterflies?
No, I had to take a second to process that. That's like straight fire. Like that's what men talk about when they're like, "Boy's got riz, like man's got game, like he's letting it rip." I'm so impressed by that from a 30-year-old woman.
I'm really impressed. And you watched me process it in real time. My first thought was like, "Oh, she couldn't possibly, like there's..." Oh,
she's like, "It hurts to look at your microneedled PRP injected face."
Yeah, it's too beautiful for words or eyes.
I got to encourage like some sort of portfolio, put a face to a name, put a fact to a name. It's like when you go into like a high-end restaurant and in like the back rooms, you know, they have cork boards of all the VIPs with their name underneath. So you can greet them by name.
That's what elevates the experience, truly. Also, what are you sipping on right now?
It's a sparkling ice. It's the soda with vitamins and antioxidants.
I thought it was.
I fear I've been overdoing it
with those.
The Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah. I hear that. I have been doing something crazy, which is that I've been drinking energy drinks at night because I've been closing at work. So I have been walking over to the 7-Eleven, grabbing a Celsius like 7, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And you know me with a Celsius, pretty intense experience.
Yeah, you are flying.
Yeah, I'm flying. Red Bull, Celsius. But it's worked for me thus far. But I need to be careful because that's not what the human body was meant to do. You're not supposed to be experiencing a gust of energy at midnight.
Well, you know what? Like, I don't think it's on us to prescribe anything at this point in time. We're not medical professionals. We never claim to be. I remember receiving a slew of agitated DMs from Uggos when we condemned drinking Celsius at 8 a.m. I think our words were like, "That's insane. Like, we'd never do that." And I had a bunch of Uggos say, "I start my day with that before I head to the office." So I think each to their own.
You're right. We're not doctors. We're not doctors.
If you want to pump your heart with 200 milligrams of caffeine, like that's your business. Yeah. Any time of the day or night.
Be free. Drink it whenever. I love that.
Celsius has come up on this show more than I think any other recurring theme. It's like Chris, Steven, Celsius.
Yeah, we sort of talk about it like it's like an ethical question that's being posed. Of like,
yes,
right
or
wrong, Celsius. And they should sponsor us, probably.
The El Pollo Loco sponsorship is really what I'm gunning for. That's number one.
On the manifestation mood board.
I've talked about El Pollo Loco, I think, more than anyone on the planet at this point.
You are the one that introduced me to it in a big way. I came in a blind woman and you... Mm-hmm. insisted that I see. And honestly, it's one of the best salads I've ever had in my life.
Okay, do you know that they have a new salad? Cajun shrimp and chicken.
Oh my God.
And that is stunning. You get that, a side of chips, maybe a little churro to finish it off. There's nothing like it.
That sounds amazing. And the chicken is good. I mean, of course.
No, I'm so sick of seeing this
perfect girl summer dinner, Caesar salad with a side of fries and a martini.
No, it is the al pollo shrimp chicken salad, a side of chips and a churro.
That's the clean girl, summer dinner.
Al pollo, clean girl, summer dinner.
Clean Hailey girl, Bieber. Summer girl, dinner. Yeah, donut glazed nail dinner.
Oh my God, we're delirious today.
I know. Can I tell you what my inspiration is also?
Yeah, please.
Blind items.
Oh, that's a good one.
I have really gone down a rabbit hole with them. They are a part of Steven's like morning news blitz. I will watch him like wake up, get his phone, and then pull up like Deadline, Pitchfork, Variety, Hollywood Reporter, and then Blind Items.
See, that's an echelon that Chris with an unnamed actress and a Kevin Durant tidbit will never reach.
Plugged in. And these blind items are always posted on websites that looked like they were coded in like 1999.
Yeah, if it's not Perez Hilton, I don't want it.
The cursor is like a sparkle that you hover over the blind item to reveal what celebrity it
is. It's like a pic art sketch that's like whore.
Yeah, exactly. It's so powerful. It feels like engaging with another era, traveling back in time. And the way that they're written read to me like haikus. They are, it's poetry that reveals sort of steamy gossip. It's so the Venn diagram of all my interests. I love how petty some of them are. I read one this morning that was like, this A-list pop starlet didn't get enough commotion for her proposal when she initially announced it. So she re-announced it at the Olympics.
What?
Any guesses?
No.
Lady Gaga.
She's engaged.
Yeah. You, the target demo. I'm like, you dumb bitch. Yes, she is. And you didn't give her the love that she deserved when she first announced.
Well, I feel like we should articulate what a blind item is. It is a piece of gossip sent in by presumably like a reputable source. Someone who has had an experience with said star, but they do not name them. So nothing can get traced back. So if you're familiar with sites like Dumois, they are fully operating on sharing blind items. That's their whole shtick. I must say, some of the things that have been sent in that I've read from Dumois have kind of told me everything I need to know about a celebrity. And if someone says, you know, I get like a weird vibe from Ryan Reynolds, I can be like, well, that is because a young Canadian woman saw him on the street. She called his name and he was like, get the fuck away from me. I take it as absolute facts.
Yes.
I'm 12 angry men and I know.
You know the truth.
I know the truth.
And it's interesting because there's really no way to verify. They exist in this sort of liminal space where they are submitted anonymously and they are anonymous themselves, where the star is not named. And then everyone just guesses who it is. So it's so fun. And the descriptors sometimes I feel are truly brutal. I don't know how people get by being described as like, B minus list actor and Hallmark secondary choice.
It's like, have you seen the trend where someone's like running from the police and then they describe me as having an athletic build? And it's like, to me? Honestly, I think I'm entering my real inspiration now, if you'll have it.
I would love it.
Which really plays off this whole concept and your inspiration specifically, which is like celebrity gossip is politics. It's current events. It is community building. It brings us together in a way that I don't think can be overstated. You and I went into a meeting this week with W Hollywood of W fame to discuss a potential partnership. We're breadcrumbing here. Like we're breadcrumbing, we're edging, and we will be climaxing in a couple episodes, but not
exactly.
Just yet.
You'll have to read the writing on the wall for now.
This for me was a blind meeting. You'd met them prior, but I was coming in cold. And you've got to cut to the quick. Like you can't go deep with a group of people like that. You can't be like, where were you raised? And was that a two-parent household? Or you can't get there. No. So you have to find a different commonality, a different connection point. And that was the celebrity sphere. We were talking about sightings, eras tour, gossip. We were running the gambit just left and right. One of them had just moved to LA and he was talking about rewatching The Hills and how we were truly at W Hollywood steps away from the club that Lindsay, Paris, Lauren Conrad, Brittany would go every night. Ledoux.
I would give anything for a night at Ledoux.
In 2006 at Ledoux. So were the gals leaving Chateau Marmont or Ledoux when they were photographed in the car together?
Oh, wait. I know the answer to this because I wrote about it. I think it might be Ledoux if the Bimbo Summit.
The Page Six.
Yeah.
Famous cover of Lindsay, Brittany in Paris in a car. Yeah, so we just kind of got deep into that off the bat. And what really inspired me was one of the attendees of the meeting, the kind of head of marketing of W Hollywood, talked about her recent Daily Mail debut. She had been photographed in the back of like a paparazzi shot of none other than Jeremy Allen White, our subject today. He was heading the farmer's market, as she says he tends to do. She sees him a lot. And she was hunched over, scolding her children. And the Daily Mail ran this photo of Jeremy. And there she is, like her first time in print. She told her husband to burn it. That's real life. That's truth. And it brings us to one of the most topical subjects in pop culture right now, which is Jeremy Allen White's paparazzi appearances.
Every day is a runway.
Every day is a new day to get a fresh pump on and buy an oversized bouquet of flowers.
This is the thing. It's the fresh pump. It's the veins like coming out of the arms where I'm like, you must have just minutes ago been holding a weight in your hands.
No, anyone who has ever lifted a weight knows that within a few hours, your arms, your legs go back into spaghetti noodles. There's a reason why guys are doing press-ups before they are walking onto the beach of Bachelor in Paradise or like the Villa of Love Island.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Allen White, he just is such a mainstay at the moment on very specific paparazzi sites. And we've talked about this a lot. There are certain very friendly photo agencies. Backgrid is one of them. And if you're seeing Jeremy Allen White, usually there's a Backgrid tag. I'm not saying he calls them. I'm not saying that.
You're merely pointing out facts.
Yeah, I'm pointing out a coincidence.
Yeah.
But there's a reason also why Jeremy Allen White would be candidly photographed around Los Angeles. And that is because he is in one of the most popular television shows on air right now. It's doing very well.
It is. And he also really is like an it girl of the moment, it feels, where people yeah. are just like obsessed with what he's up to, obsessed with the fact that he may or may not be dating Rosalia. Rosalia also always having like a cool girl moment. I found out about his divorce through a blind item, which really connects back to everything. Long, long before it was announced, I had heard some cheating rumors, some things, some, you know, all the sort of fodder that we love to hear about in stars' intimate relationships, especially when an actor dates another actor. Not saying that's right, because I feel, you know, of course these people are people and deserve privacy and everyone has mm-hmm. marital issues and things that they go through. And ideally, obviously, it's not all happening and playing out online. But it did for one Jeremy Allen White.
Do you remember the contents of that blind item?
I do. I'm going to start with an alleged affair that transpired between Jeremy Allen White's ex-wife, Allison Tamlin, or
the name Addison. Is
Addison. Addison.
The Tamlin. Only other Addison I've ever heard of.
Yeah, truly.
No, that's a name that makes you sorority president. That makes you social chair.
Exactly. You don't have a choice in the matter.
That's the only qualification you need.
Yeah. Addison had an affair with Cooper Rafe, who is a very young man and made a movie with Dakota Johnson recently. He was sort of like a wunderkind in that he had a really big movie that, yeah, Shit House in 2020.
Right. Director, right? And yeah. Like 26 or something around yeah. that range.
Got a bunch of accolades and awards and everyone was like, oh my God, this is crazy. This like very, very young man. And then followed it up with Cha-Cha Real Smooth, which is the Dakota Johnson flick. He is 27 now. So he would have been like 25 at the time. And
wow.
I know. So that was the alleged thing. And then also sort of separate blind item that Jeremy Allen White also drank a lot and is since sober.
Yes, I've heard something similar. So this profile came out in November 23. It ran in British GQ. And if I can tell you one thing, it's that British GQ get to the it hot boys before anyone else.
So true.
I wouldn't say that Jacob Elordi profile, I mean, we're pulling back the curtain here, but was our most ever listened to episode. He outstrips Meghan Markle by like a long shot, which really shows his power. Was British GQ.
Yeah.
Here we are again. The title is The Renovation of Jeremy Allen White. You might have noticed that between becoming one of the most talked about, tweeted about, and thirsted after young actors in Hollywood, Jeremy Allen White has been through a few changes lately. He's still adjusting too. Written by Cam Wolf, who I think is on staff. He's actually, he kind of writes like a lot of fashion pieces. Well, I haven't seen him do that many profiles, but he really gets to the heart of Jeremy here. And to give you a little background on our boy, he was raised in Brooklyn and originally had the intention of being a dancer. He only pivoted to acting when he was 13. I think he was a ballerina, actually, which he has the physique. He really does.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right.
He went to a professional performing arts school in Hell's Kitchen, and then he was cast on Shameless. So he would have been, I think, what, 19-ish?
And I watched that show. He was good.
He must have been. It ran for so many seasons. And he kind of followed the show's conclusion with The Bear. The acclaimed series came out in 2022. It focuses on a young chef who returns to run his family's sandwich shop after his brother's death in Chicago. And I mean, it really just further established Jeremy and his capacity to play these like very complex, emotionally charged roles. That show got 36 nominations, just Emmys alone. 36 nominations in the Emmys, 10 wins. So 10 wow. Emmys, Golden Globe Award for Best Television Series, Musical, or Comedy. Jeremy Allen White won the Golden Globe and the Emmy for Best Actor in 2023 and 2024. So back-to-back years. In 2023, he also starred in a viral Calvin Klein ad, which we will never forget. And this all happened in the same year of his divorce. So his ex-wife, who's an actress, Addison Timlin, they met, I think, when they were both teenagers. They worked together on a movie and they were married in 2019. And by the spring of 2023, she had filed for divorce. And then by fall, he was dating Rosalia. Allegedly, that is the timeline.
Mm.
But 2023 in general was a very weird year for pop culture. I know it's like recent memory, but I kind of want to get back into it because it's pretty niche. One of like the foremost headline making moments was the Met Gala cockroach.
Oh my God.
There were cameramen like tracking the cockroach, and just that high and low brow crossover is what I love. I deeply, deeply love. In the same breath, I mean, celebrity memoirs were everywhere. Not to compare celebrities to cockroaches at all. I'm sorry. That was not the transition I was aiming for. But Prince Harry released his best-selling memoir Spare in January 2023. If you haven't listened to the audiobook, he compares himself to foxes outside the window. There's a lot going on. And the same year was Britney Spears' Woman and Me came out, which detailed her 13-year conservatorship. And that's not all. I mean, this was the year of pop princesses. Taylor Swift and Beyonce both dominated summer of 2023 with their respective tours, breaking records, making so much money for Live Nation and Ticketmaster. I'm still going. There is actually so much and that we have, I feel like, already forgotten about. Scandoval was the reality TV cheating scandal that brought non-Bravo fans to the show for the first time, including myself.
And thank God for that. That is an insane year for pop culture. That's one that I think will go down in the history books, you know, where I don't think 2017 is a year that, you know, is talked about. 2016, on the other hand, I feel a huge year for pop culture. 2023 yes. is definitely going to be one of the hallmark years.
But even the current events had this weird, what's the word, Ivana? You can help me here. Like, satirical twist, like they couldn't have been conceived of in a writer's room. The three T's, I'm gonna call it the three T's: Trump's arrest, his mugshot making headlines after he was indicted for attempting to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia, ski trial, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh my god.
Winning the legal battle over her ski collision.
I wish you well. Rings in my ears at all times.
And the Titanic submersible tragedy. When in June a submersible diving to the Titanic wreckage went missing and was later confirmed to have imploded. So that's all going on. And then there's also Barbenheimer happening. It's just like,
oh my god.
It really just was like an insane year. And I feel like humans, we're so adaptable. We just really like take everything in stride. And it feels like these days more than ever, we're just kind of like, sounds about right. Yeah. Crazy, crazy town.
Yeah.
We've arrived.
It exploded down in the deep sea. Oof. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feels like we were due for something like that.
No.
No. No, no.
Our condolences with the family.
Our condolences to everyone on the submersible.
To everyone. But The Bear, the first season, was the most watched single season of a comedy series in FX history. So could not have been a better moment for Hulu, especially after the other big win for Hulu was really just securing the Kardashians reboot. I really don't know how that's going.
It's getting tougher and tougher to watch, I have to say.
No, I think we said in conversation yesterday, transitioning from Love Island USA to the Kardashians is like being in a Rolls Royce and then having to get into a Suzuki Swift.
Yeah.
You will still get to where you're going, but you don't feel good about it. You're not
enjoying the ride, per se.
No.
No.
The AC's broken. The radio station is stuck on Ryan Seacrest.
Windows jammed, no fresh air,
and there's a faint whiff of BO.
Yeah,
and that is really what it's like to transition between those two series. Do you know what it is? It's just stale. I think that's where the BO comes in. It's just like it feels very stale.
Yeah,
everyone is giving their least.
Yeah, that old carpet smell is all over.
But the season 3 premiere of The Bear this year reached 5.4 million views in its first 4 days, which is like record breaking for an FX premiere on Hulu. And it was the most watched season premiere of any scripted series on Hulu. And this all comes while Jeremy is preparing for a major role in the upcoming Bruce Springsteen biopic. That major role being Bruce Springsteen.
And he is sort of perfect for it, I have to say. You know, he is a really interesting actor. He does have a grittiness to him that I feel like is the reason that Bruce Springsteen is so beloved, where it's sort of perfectly imperfect. His face is not too, like, he's not a Disney prince. And I think that it works.
It does feel so strange that we came up on, and I think this is what still informs the beauty standard for people of our age, like our, like the men in our lives who are now in their like late 20s, early 30s, is like, we were raised on Josh Hartnett and Ashton Kutcher, 6 foot something gods with chiseled jawlines and perfectly carved bodies.
Yeah, like megawatt smiles.
Megawatt smiles. It does feel wild to see the shift that we've taken of, like, I don't want to say ugly hot because that's not, but like the Rat Boy Summer, it's like, that's a break from where we were.
The times have shifted. I like to call them crinkly-eyed beauties, where...
Okay. Who do you call them that to? You're like, when I mention them in conversation, I'm like, you know, my crinkly-eyed beauties.
When I'm writing in my diary, I tend to call them crinkly-eyed beauties. But I really realize that all of my celebrity crushes of the moment sort of are in that realm. Like, very few of them are these sort of, like, gorgeous, like, Chris Evans. To put Chris Evans on a celebrity crush list just feels redundant at this point.
Banal, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Chris Evans is still the celebrity you think you could woo, correct?
I think if given, you know, the right time, the right bar, I think that I could make something happen. This is a game that we've played. And I recommend you play it with all of your nearest and dearest, where we talk about what celebrity we think we could realistically pull.
Yeah.
If given like one night to do it.
I don't remember what my answer was. What
Glenn Powell.
Oh, Glenn Powell. But I was in my very Glenn Powell state of mind back then.
Of course. So different than now.
I know. I don't know if I'm still in it. That was a few weeks ago.
No, of course. And we evolve. Cocoon to butterfly, butterfly to cocoon.
I know. And actually, I don't know if I could pull Glenn Powell, I'll be quite honest with you.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I could pull Chris Evans, to be quite honest with you.
No, but... But in hindsight, looking back, I feel devoid of a celebrity crush right now, which is, it's a tough place to be. I don't recommend it.
Oh.
I don't like not having someone, you know, on the vision board.
To strive for.
Yeah, for when I trade Kristen for a more luxury model. Trade in the old pickup truck.
Yeah, you know who mine is and has been for a little while is Josh O'Connor.
Wow, that doesn't surprise me. You guys look alike.
Me and him? Yes. Our dimples and our beards.
You guys looking in the mirror. Yeah, it's the beards.
It's the beard.
No, it's the like the dark curly locks. He is a crinkled eye beauty.
He is a crinkled eye beauty.
Yeah, and like the little smile. You have very similar teeth. Like I'm going to put you in a side by side.
Stop, don't.
Shout out to our new social media manager, Angela. We need a side by side of
Josh O'Connor. No, I saw so Challengers. I saw Challengers, obviously, but I recently watched La Chimera, which you should see. Italian. You would love it.
Ooh.
And he plays just like a little piece of shit in that steals. He's like a actual grave robber, and something about that really worked for me.
No, there's something we've talked about this before. I think you secretly love a bad boy.
I know. I do.
You're rehabilitative, I think, as a human, because you're so nurturing. Like, you could change them.
I do think that, in the same way that, you know, it's why we rehabilitated crows growing up, or, you know, squirrels or possums, all those little sort of forgotten friends. But it's like, what would I do with a bad boy? What would I do? What would we talk about? Truly.
The fact that we're getting to squirrels and possums and we're not in the profile yet. We've got it. We've got to rein it in. We've got to rein this in.
I know. Okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Jeremy Allen White,
British GQ, November 2023. It opens thus. Jeremy Allen White is renovating his home. He has lived in the same 1920s cottage-style house in Los Angeles for 7 years and has recently been giving the place an overhaul. He says one room at a time. He's already done the kitchen. Next year, when he goes back to work, he's planning on having his own and the guest bathroom redone. You can always switch things up, White says. It's a principle that applies to home decor as seamlessly as to White's entire existence, which has been basically rebuilt from the studs up over the last 18 months. Real recognize real here. I'm seeing Cam and I'm looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you are given so little with a star, or it feels like there's not a lot to work with here, you draw metaphors.
Like the grand metaphor
is derived from pretty much nothing. You're reaching, the connection is loose. And I feel like that is what's happening here, even though this is a beautiful metaphor, and it continues to be throughout the piece because we keep coming back to it. This is what the behind the scenes is. Jeremy's publicist to Cam. Hey, Cam, Jeremy's all set for next Tuesday at 1. He was thinking you guys could go furniture shopping together because he's renovating his house for the first time. He's got this little place that he really loves, and he was thinking you guys could maybe just like spend an hour walking around there. How does that sound?
I mean, it's, you know, we always talk about celebrity plus activity equals profile. This is, you know, at least something specific. And I feel like often the metaphor comes when you're not given that sort of huge moment. Channing Tatum profile, where she's like, we wake up under the bushes, a rattlesnake like strewn over my leg, cuddled up with Channing Tatum. It's like,
we haven't done this profile.
Well,
but
it's amazing.
That's a tease. That's a sneak
peek. It's a tease. It's coming. You don't even know how many profiles we have in the queue at this point.
On deck.
We'd have to record every day to keep up with how many good ones there are.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I think about that every day. This podcast could be purely dedicated to profiles that come out like this year.
Yeah.
And we would have enough to keep us going.
I know. And we haven't even dug. I mean, the things that are left to uncover, girl.
Oh.
It's good. It's crazy.
And that is why they pay you the low, low day rate.
My low hourly rate.
And that's why you get minimum wage.
I have to tell you something.
What?
My dandruff is back in a big way.
No.
I know. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, I have something to share with you that may help. Do you remember when my dandruff came back and I tried everything but using a dandruff product? Like, I even got those like towel headband things to wash my face because I assumed it was my cleanser. Like, I just did everything but go to the source, which is, I gotta say, Noomi's dandruff defense, dude, it is so good. It's light. It's like you leave, your hair is clean, but it doesn't feel weighed down the way that some shampoos and conditioners does. But it also doesn't strip it of its natural oils. I understand that's a lot for it to achieve, but it really pulls it off.
No, and I have heard that to get rid of dandruff, it has to be antibacterial, antifungal. And I know those words obviously don't sound sexy, but the results certainly are.
No, it's incredible. I mean, this dandruff shampoo and conditioner are packed with amino acids. They enhance shine, protect hair from all environmental stresses, which is so clutch, especially if you live in like a very, very dry environment. You kind of just need, summer sun, winter cold, you name it. You just kind of need that extra help. And it has just like the formula is amazing. It is lightweight. It doesn't like bog your hair down, but at the same time, it's shiny, voluminous. It is incredible. There's argan and tea tree oil that soothes the scalp. You know, it's scalp first all the way. Everything starts with the scalp.
Everything when I tell you. Okay, how do I get it? I need it.
Okay, you can go straight to numihair.com. That's numehair.com. And if you want a little discount, put the code UNCOVER at checkout. That's UNCOVER, UNCOVER at checkout for 15% off. And honestly, Ivana, while you're there, I know I'm keeping you for so long, but their hair straightener, $100 and incredible, the best one I've ever used. And I've used a lot. As you know, my hair is perpetually straight. I will not live any other way. So I cannot recommend this brand enough. I absolutely love it. And the product itself, Dandruff Defense Shampoo and Conditioner. Dude, you got to get on it immediately.
Okay. It's time to be flake-free.
NumiHair.com, 15% off with the code UNCOVER. Get on it, baby. Flake-free.
It does help when there's like a personal connection to the activity as opposed to like, I went temp and bowling with Beyonce. You know, like it's like.
Exactly.
Beyonce laced up those little shoes and yeah. She got a strike. Like the way she strikes a light in every show.
Yes, exactly.
It writes itself for you.
It writes itself for you. We know. It's a formula that works time and time again.
But it continues this way. And I think my point will become even more clear. But change is incremental. And so on this particular Los Angeles day in October, all White really needs is a lamp. Something small and moody, maybe, for his guest bathroom, he says. Why I find this so funny is just that, again, it's such a reach. Like, you're not going to this furniture store with like with something really in mind. Like, join me on my day because I need to buy a new bed and like, let's pick one out together. It's like, fuck, what can I do with British GQ? What makes sense? What can we? Okay, let's go to the store and get a lamp for the guest bathroom. Not even the bathroom that I use.
I didn't really, really take in the guest bathroom until now. I love this because of my obsession with Architectural Digest Open Door. There's something about celebrities and their interior design choices I find completely intoxicating. And when they take us into like their crawl space and they're like, I picked the door handle here, actually. There's something about it that reminds me of my mom. That's the story of this. And it's my favorite little nook of the house. I love to hear everyone's favorite little nook of the house. So
there's some insane AD Open Doors. I, for some reason, like everyone has like a watercolor painting nook or station.
Yeah.
Like Kendall Jenner is like, please come into my arts and crafts room. This is where me and my friends just like to like throw in an apron and what do you call it? Hit the wheel.
Yeah, I know. Throwing on the wheel.
Throw the wheel.
Throw on the wheel. I know. Or they're like, this is my dominoes table. We only play dominoes on this table. Yes. Me and my girlfriends, we get around Thursday nights for dominoes. Yeah.
It's so crazy niche.
I think it's sort of to assure us that they participate in the world like we do, but they so don't. Like, show me when Kendall Jenner is in the watercolor room between her busy schedules on Paris Fashion Week. Like,
I was about to say something really brutal. Is she that busy?
Oof. I think she's busy enough that she isn't like, I have to sit down right now and like paint a horse, you know?
No, but she has lots of time to ride her horse, as we've learned.
That's true.
But you make the time for the things you love. And that is what Jeremy is doing here. He is making time for the things he loves, including his two daughters, Ezra, 5, and Dolores, 2. He recently sold their cribs and instead got, I have no idea how to say this, this is a Swedish name, Borgensen bunk beds, an immutable sign of his children growing up, which was actually devastating for Jeremy. He says, I knew it was going to be emotional, but I didn't quite understand. I was on my knees taking these fucking cribs out of the room and in the midst of his sadness, dealing with all the memories. But this is how White's days go now, painfully ripping away the old, Cam says, to make room for the fancy new furniture of his life. So this is, yeah, this is a metaphor that's going to keep cropping up. I'm preparing you now. And I don't mind it. I think it's really good. He's working with what he's been given. I salute him. It is crazy that Jeremy is a father of two. He's only 32 years old at this point in time. Now he must be 33. But it's very, very young to have so much responsibility, it feels like. But again, I have been conditioned by this city where men of 45 are simply 18.
So true.
They cannot cook a chicken and they've never made a bed in their life.
No, the word spatchcock means nothing to them.
The only cock they're not familiar with.
We go blue. We start doing blue comedy on the podcast.
We are loose today. Yeah. We are loose. It's Jeremy. He brings it out in us.
Yeah.
They're in this furniture store called Den, which is an LA store where nearly everything in it was previously owned by or will be sold to a high profile individual. Cam writes that in LA speak, it's gauche to say that the clientele are, quote, famous. So instead, they're described as, like, fun or cool. White inquires about, like, a previous piece that has since been sold and goes, did somebody really fun buy that?
I've heard that. I've heard that be used that way. Oh,
like,
I love
be like, someone really fun?
Yeah. Any fun guests coming to your birthday?
You know what? That's a good goal and aspiration, is to be described as fun just across the board, with or without like that LA connotation.
I agree. A compliment, a huge compliment.
And Cam writes that White himself, of course, is now the type of fun person who will become part of the store's lore. That, I love that rhyme, store lore.
Yeah.
Beautifully done. I think this profile is very good, I should say.
And like really beautifully written, I found.
Very entertaining. Like it really kept me hooked the whole time. Yeah. I thought it was, it's really great. It was coming in the midst of the writer's strike. So Jeremy at this point is unable to really promote many of his works, including The Bear. Cam describes it as a critically acclaimed TV series that made him almost overnight a huge star, but he won't mention the title The Bear itself, as writers are still in contract disputes with major studios, so no projects can be discussed. But at the same time, he is able to drop A-list actors' names. Famous fans of White, such as Dustin Hoffman, who Jeremy had like always idolized and who now specifically wrote to Jeremy and was like, I love you. You know, like that is evidence that Jeremy has like finally arrived in the A-lister penthouse. At the same time, Cam and any outlet would be remiss not to cover the fact that Jeremy has also gone through a massive upheaval of his personal life. At the same time that his career is skyrocketing, it seems that everything crashed down at home. In May, his wife of more than 3 years, Addison Timlin, filed for divorce. That was coupled with Jeremy's huge physical transformation, emphasis on huge. He says his arms the approximate size of bazookas. And the combination of those two factors meant that he suddenly finds himself hounded by paparazzi wherever he goes. At the most difficult time, his life has become suddenly and wrenchingly public. It's been insane, White says. A lot of high highs and a lot of low lows. At this point, they crouch down to look at a 1951 headboard. And Jeremy says, I have to ask how much it is just for fun. And it's $80,000. I was going to skip over that. But the fact that they're selling a headboard for $80,000 was just too good. It's too good.
It's too LA. It must
be. It's so LA.
Yeah.
They find their lamp. For the guest bedroom, of course. It's perfectly bathroom. Moody. So, oh my God, I'm so sorry. How could I have confused the two? They find the lamp for the guest bathroom. It is a perfectly moody orange glow. and it has a price tag of $383.
Not bad.
I mean, for a lamp in the guest bathroom, I mean,
yeah,
could be worse. And they leave to head to East Hollywood to a seafood restaurant called Found Oyster, which is a 3-minute drive from my home and a place so busy that I never go.
Everyone loves it there.
It's just always like an hour 30 wait. I'm not a huge seafood fan anyway. I'm not like killing myself over a scallop, you know?
Yeah. I love an oyster, but I try not
to
eat them.
Have you been to Found?
No, I haven't.
That's weird for you, I feel like.
I know.
You've lived so close to it for so long.
I agree. I'm going to go, but I'll go in the fall when the oysters are safer.
Hopefully you'll have a Jeremy Allen White sighting. But this all comes back to like the fact that he is very much like around town. An LA local with a capital L at this point. Like he is going jogging, going to the farmer's market. And there's a route that he specifically runs along that you might recognize because one hot afternoon in July, he was on one of his like endorphin pumping runs when a car pulled up alongside him and started taking pictures from the top of the hill all the way back down to his house. I was like, what are we doing? Are you escorting me? White recalls, asking the photographer, attempting to reason with him. I'm just trying to get a good shot. The paparazzo demurred, according to White. It's such a weird aspect of this thing that I never really thought I would have to deal with whatsoever, Jeremy now explains while they're at the restaurant. It's not fun, it's not nice, and it's really weird. Okay, I send these photos to you specifically, Ivana. For me, they were evidentiary support that he calls the paparazzi because I was like, "How? What paparazzo is up on this desolate desert hill where Jeremy Allen White is going for a run shirtless? Muscles are bulging. And also the shots are very clear, which for me is always like a weird tip off. Like when the shots are so clear or even when they feel specifically great. And we talk about this with J-Lo a lot. She is our shining example, beacon of light, someone who has really close relationships with the paparazzi. Rihanna does as well. Charlie XCX talks about calling them all the time. We know that they are called. And when you see a not so flattering photo of a celebrity, that's usually the real one. It's not like Addison Rae having walked out of a Barnes & Noble with The Woman in Me and already being 15 chapters deep in the middle of it. And she just happens to be caught in a little booty short, a baby tee, and braids.
Yeah.
The reason why this kind of sat weirdly with me is he's calling out specific examples where it looks like he's called them. I think if he was just referring to in general, like, yeah, it's so weird that everywhere where you least expect them, like I'll go for a run and they'll be there, it would be kind of like easier for me to digest. But I think because it's, these photos are famous. These photos of him on this run are famous because he looks so good. He looks stunning, stunning, mm-hmm. gorgeous, beautiful boy. And I think that's where there's something not quite right.
Where do you sit on the farmer's market flower compilations, of which there are many, of him sort of like walking away with an armful of beautiful fresh wildflowers every week, day in, day out?
Let me say another thing. If you've seen any video footage of him walking, it is so pep walk coded, slow, deliberate in a way that I don't believe is someone truly trying to evade the paparazzi. Oh, the way that Kim K walks into a hotel out of her suburban in New York. It's like that. It's like a hand up, but you can still see the whole face. Because he is so in the paparazzi's frame of view, there are a lot of headlines about him just like living his life. So Jeremy Allen White taking a post-lunch walk. Jeremy Allen White starting off his week with a run. Jeremy Allen White out running errands. Jeremy says, they know where I live. There was a period when I would just pull out and they would be chilling in the driveway and then they would follow. And when I got home, they would be there. Most of the time, the paparazzi only stalked him on completely innocuous errands, but sometimes verge into uncomfortably personal territory, such as when they staked out his daughter's football game when he attended with his ex-wife. Okay. That said, I do believe that like when you are photographed, it begets more photos, especially in the way of Jeremy. People really engage with his paparazzi shots. The man is so jacked. Girls are obsessed with him. He's always going to have a scroll stopping shot on like a Just Jared or a Page Six, especially when he started dating Rosalia, which we'll kind of get to. So I do believe that it may have taken a turn for the invasive.
I agree. I was just about to say it's so hard with these, with like a chicken and the egg scenario of like the first ones, like it's not like paparazzos necessarily know like this will certainly go viral, but you know, in the same way of like Jacob Elordi and his book bags, they seized on a moment and then it became a movement. And that's often how it goes, of like obsession turns to profit, profit turns to obsession. And then it's like, and then we're in a cycle that you can't really get out of.
For sure. One begets the other. And it's not just photographers. It seems that like any private space in Los Angeles is no longer safe. We Spa, which is
no.
A very well-known Korean day spa that I, dude, you've gone all the time, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I've still never been, but you know me. I don't like a massage. I don't like a treatment.
Well, I don't ever go there to get a massage or a treatment. I just go to sit in the hot rooms.
Yeah, and I don't love a hot room.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not, I'm not cut out for it. But you have to go there and be nude is basically the whole bit. not that it's a bit. It's healing and it is restorative.
Yeah.
But Jeremy went stripped down, totally nude, and another naked person approached him and introduced himself and asked him if an agent had shown him the guy's script that he wrote. And because of that reason, Jeremy no longer goes to We Spa. So he's basically being like, I know. He's like, I can't live a normal life anymore. Like, I can't be naked in a spa. Which, I mean, that's a shame. It's like the snake eating itself. It's like, we're coming back to like, does he egg it on a little bit? And one could argue yes, with a lot of Jeremy's like interaction online on Instagram. He's been known to like drop a flame emoji in girls' comments. This is post-divorce, right? It did give the appearance of like, hey, like I'm single. I'm moving the way single men move online. And specifically, he commented a wow on a Calvin Klein shoot of Alexa Demi. It generated a massive round of headlines, Cam writes. One from E that was Jeremy Allen White has a shameless reaction. Incredible. Incredible journalism.
That one is
a shameless reaction to Alexa. As a shameless reaction to Alexa Demi's lingerie photo shoot, Jeremy explains that it was totally innocent, that the account he left it on was the photographer and he was simply complimenting the shoot. You talk about reaching. I think that is reaching. You're like, what a beautifully artistic shot of a semi-naked woman.
Wow. But wow is innocuous. Wow. I don't look at wow and think like, Jesus, rein it in, man.
I'm gonna put this in terms that you might be able to relate to. Steven comments on a topless Kim Kardashian photo shot by, let's say, Herb Ritz. I think he's dead. And says, wow.
It's hard. If I found it in the wild, I would find it so funny of just like, I can't believe this. But it's also hard because Steven doesn't have any social media of any kind. So
I also would say that Steven cannot pull Alexa Demi. He is married to you. He is not in Alexa Demi circles. Jeremy Allen White has access to Alexa Demi. So to comment a wow feels pointed. But like I said, this was not an isolated incident. As far allegedly, he was kind of online like this. In hot girls, comments, DMs, what have you. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're at Found Oyster. They're ordering clams and salmon crudo, and he's not drinking, which is another thing that kind of goes unsaid in this piece. Like your blind item, like there have been alcoholism rumors, and that might be something that contributed to the demise of the marriage. We don't know one way or the other, but it's not outwardly addressed in this profile, except for this one kind of throwaway sentence. But Cam asks, and I think this is a great question, and I want to honestly adopt it and work it into my rotation.
Yeah.
What's the not worst thing about being famous? And he's like, getting a reservation at a restaurant is sick. Also being able to call up experts when he's prepping for roles and them just kind of dropping anything for him, or like having run-ins with actors he's always loved. He took his mom to the SAG Awards where he was nominated and won in the category of outstanding performance by a male actor in a comedy series. And he was like, what, like who would be the craziest person for you to meet? And she was like, Cate Blanchett. And then of course they arrive on the red carpet and Cate Blanchett is there. And Jeremy's like, yeah, she locked eyes with me and immediately came over and was like, I'm such a fan of you. And his mom was in tears, like actually sobbing. And I think this is the coup de grace of this piece, is that Cam went and got a email quote from Kate Blanchett on this experience, where Kate is now a producer on one of Jeremy's upcoming films. And Kate says, to meet Jeremy and his mother simultaneously was a godsend. I can only now thank his mother, Eloise, for creating this opportunity.
I love her. I love this. This is reporting. This is what reporting gets ya. This is about what they're talking about here.
And with that comes Marvel. We remember famously when Leonardo DiCaprio said to Timothée Chalamet, like, what? Like, no cocaine and no superhero movies? No hard drugs, no superhero movies was the advice. Jacob Elordi has also been like, not for me. Thanks, though. And Jeremy Allen White has also been offered, alongside A24 scripts, meetings with Marvel, the powerful Disney studio, which over the last decade has become like a villain in one of its own movies, sucking every rising talent into its universe. The machine is now so big, Cam writes, that starring in one of their movies feels like a foregone conclusion for actors at White's level. The first question actually that Riz Ahmed asked, according to White, when they first met was, when are you going to do the Marvel thing?
It's scary to me, the Marvel machine. It just, I think, also really displays the people who have the power to say no or make fun of it, and the people who either need the paycheck or just are down. Like, the difference between Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney and Madame Web is, like, Dakota Johnson could spend the entire press cycle disparaging it, basically, and immediately was like, yeah, I don't know. And Sydney Sweeney, who's been very vocal about the fact that, like, I need to be paid, I don't come from money, I don't come from clout and prestige, and I take so many, you know, Frankie's Bikinis collabs because I need the money.
Yeah. And so Jeremy, in this moment, when he was approached for a Marvel movie, kind of had the Dakota Johnson approach of, like, tell me why I should do your movie, he recalls saying in a meeting. And he's like leaning back, arms crossed. And they were like, fuck you, he says.
Yeah. But I respect it.
It bolts. And he says, I'm confused how the pinnacle of an actor's career has ended up in this place. And then at the same time, he says, well, you know, they do get really good filmmakers to do those movies. And obviously they get really good actors to do those movies. And he really shouldn't be burning bridges at this stage of his career. That being said, what does interest him is, like, the 25 mil budget drama types, character actor parts. And he is just coming off one in this moment because he shot The Iron Claw, which, dude, have you seen?
No, I'm afraid to see it. After I heard about your reaction and a few other friends, it seems that it'll break me down for weeks.
I don't think you can handle it. I was dreaming about it. It was tough, tough going. And if for anyone who doesn't know, it's based on the Von Erich family, which is like a family of famous wrestlers from the 70s. The tragedy that bestruck that family was so off the charts that they basically believed they had a family curse. There were 6 brothers and 5 died before they turned 34. And in the movie, they actually omitted one of the brothers' deaths because the director was like, it was too much. The writer-director was like, we would lose the audience because it seemed too unbelievable that there would be another brother to die. So only one survived, critically acclaimed. It has like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, but there were responses to it from critics of being like, it did veer on being like a feel bad sports movie because it felt like there were so few happy moments to kind of keep you in it. And you were just constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is like tough on the heart.
Yeah.
But he had an amazing time. But he had an amazing time making it. He says that doing it was bro-y in the best way. Zac Efron actually weighed in on this profile and says, like, Jeremy is the fucking man. His presence is electric on and off camera. He motivated me to take the role as seriously as possible, and we push each other to be better both on and off set. Their bodies were so unbelievable in this film. And I think what actually made it really hard is because they're shorter and they clearly gain muscle so much quicker, even though there are obviously allegations that they are not totally natty, as they say in the fitness world. It is really crazy because they're so short and the other brothers cast were so long, like Harris Dickinson. So long, so tall. They're so short and they're so long because the other actors were so tall. Their bodies just looked like they just couldn't hold a candle to what Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White pulled off. And like, we now find out in this profile that Jeremy gained 9 kg for the role at a 5'7" height. So 9 kg, what, 20 pounds? 20 pounds of muscle. And you're 5'7".
Crazy.
And that was one of the like the biggest compliments you could earn on set from one of the boys is like, yo, you're looking big, boy. And I've seen personally what that does for a man after Steven told Chris he was looking big, or you relayed the compliment and Chris lit up like a 5-year-old girl on Christmas.
It is an incredible compliment because it's like, it is purely physical. It's not like you're looking beautiful today. Subjective, a subjective mm-hmm. compliment, depending on who you ask. You're looking big is objective. It's just like you, your size has increased. You are bigger and I salute you for it.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a really intimidating role for Jeremy Allen White to also take on emotionally because he'd never played a real person. And the role of Carrie Von Erich was particularly tough. I mean, he went through so much tragedy within the film. He had a leg amputated and then kept wrestling. And then he died by suicide. And Carrie's real life daughters are still alive and they came to set. And Jeremy was like, that was really scary for me. And then Cam draws this like beautiful little comparison here and says, but of course Jeremy Allen White now knows better than most what it's like to have your life served up for public consumption.
And then I feel like this is like the tonal shift sort of the profile where Cam is like, the man, he seems happy. He talks about how he's not a method actor per se, but he does try to stay close to the feeling of the character. So I'm sure Iron Claw was very intense. He says, if your character is miserable all the time and you're trying to stay really close to something that's very scary and isolating and misunderstood, then is there a little bleed over? Sure. That feels real to me. I can understand that. I mean, the way that movies affect me as a watcher, I can't imagine having to like live in the realm of this.
I found this really nice and refreshing that it wasn't about like the craft and like taking it too seriously, which I think is the Lordies of them all, or the Austin Butlers of them all, where it's like your real life is sacrificed for the performance. And that isn't what Jeremy Allen White is trying to do from the sounds. He says that sometimes you can get pretty good at tricking yourself that you're kind of having a bad time when you are in one of these roles, and that can be a bummer. And all of his upcoming roles are also going to be pretty intense to take on. Cam is like, do you have any like happiness coming up in your filmography anytime soon? And he's like, no. But at the same time, I think the hardest part of the process is the fact that he has to leave his kids all the time. He was like, it's brutal. I miss my kids. It's harsh. There's no reference to his love life, which I wonder if that was off limits going in. He's reached a level of fame and level of success that scrutiny is now just inevitable. And he has to just kind of accept that. He does talk about fame in a way that I had to chuckle, because every famous person on the planet has heard this quote. Every non-famous person on the planet has heard this quote. Getting stuck at the age you become famous. Everyone's heard this, Ivana.
Yeah.
We've read this in many a profile, Ivana.
An open secret, if you will.
He says, I do have a theory about when people become tremendously famous, they get stuck a little bit at that age. You live there for a while, maybe not forever, but for a period of time.
It's true.
I'm dying to know who told him that and how he like reprocessed that. It's like when someone like is telling you a story that you've already told them.
I know. There's something like innocent about it of like, I came up with something. Like I came up with a new idea. I came up with like something to explain the unexplainable, which is something, you know, we all strive for and look at and attempt. And it is sort of, it feels like a fitting way to end this profile and in this thought. But of course, we have to come back to the lamp. I love when a ribbon is tied up so beautifully and perfectly.
I love lamp. Do you remember the moth meme?
I love. I do. Oh, it was those reached a fever pitch for a while.
No, that was when the internet was at its purest. Like, people were just doing it for joy.
Yeah.
And that was that.
It was for fun. It wasn't for the bit. It was just for fun.
But no, we've come back to the lamp. We're back in the furniture store in this moment with Cam, with Jeremy. Cam writes, White, on the other hand, is going through the opposite problem. The problem being getting stuck at the age that you become famous. He's going through too much change. But then sometimes moving furniture around can feel disruptive until things settle and you find there's something exciting in the new shape of things. Den, the furniture store, needed to keep the new lamp for a little while to rewire it. White will pick it up in a few days, changed and better off.
Satisfying.
Beautifully done.
I'm sated. And I want to point out something specifically with this profile that I feel is rarely done. And I love it. I scream for it. There is a moment here where Cam says and sort of embalms this interaction that he has with Jeremy Allen White, where he was like, hey, you seem to be doing better than the last time I talked to you. And I think it hits the nail on the head. Is a great profile will tell us how a celebrity seems to be doing in that moment, or how they seem, not just what they're eating or where they're standing or what they're wearing, even though all of those things make their way in or one way or another. And I feel like those sometimes are presented to us as a way of saying, like, this is what it's like to be in a room with them. But I actually feel like this profile did a really good job of encapsulating what it is like to be in a room with Jeremy Allen White, in that it showed his more chaotic tendencies of, like, you know, him leaning back and telling the Marvel executives to fuck off, basically, and him getting sort of sad and stressed about his daughter. It's like it felt real. And then you saw the evolution of, like, oh, but he's doing a little bit better now, and it's tangible.
And I think because Cam was treading so softly, nothing feels salacious. And even though a lot is being said here, like, damn, I, like, miss my kids, you know, revelatory quotes that are just being cushioned by real sweetness and softness in this furniture metaphor, it's beautifully and delicately done. Even if you feel like he is saying something that could be pulled out, extracted, chopped up, repurposed as, like, a clickbait headline, I don't know if, like, a publicist would even flag it, because it's such a beautifully gentle and considerate profile. This is the kind of profile that I would describe as, like, a putting the pill in the dog treat. You would never feel like he is being taken advantage of here, but at the end of the day, Cam got a damn good story. And I love a metaphor. I love a bow tie. I like when they bring it back around beautifully. This was kind of just enough of everything. I can see why you'd walk away being like, okay, cool, I liked that. It kind of had vague Charlie XCX billboard vibes. And I think it's because both of those are so recent. Like, this is the new class, the new school of journalism is what we're reading right now. And it's like, you don't get a hell of a lot of access. You can't go that deep. You have a certain amount of time, and it's probably going to be spent looking at a lamp at a furniture store. Sorry, that's reality. If you're good, you'll turn that into a masterpiece. And that is, I think, what Cam does here. Okay, I had to read you just a couple of headlines from this week that really speak to our theories, our relationship, our society's relationship to Jeremy Allen White right now. Jeremy Allen White leaves a party early with a cigarette. Jeremy Allen White looks cooler leaving a party than you do arriving at one. The Bear star Jeremy Allen White highlights his buff biceps as he takes his daughters for a trolley ride at the Studio City Farmers Market. Jeremy Allen White strips down for a dip at Malibu Beach post-workout.
We're completely obsessed with where he's going, what he's up to.
I haven't come away from this feeling like he's not calling the paparazzi. And every headline is, it's buff biceps on the beach. Like, this
is it is.
It's like Jeremy Allen White's traps exploding from his skin. Like, it's
We think we're so complicated, but we're so simple. That's the whole thing about us, is that it's like, I look for substance. Like, I look for, you know, creative ambition. And in the end, what we care about, it's sweaty, buff back.
No, we've been this way since ancient Greece. Like, there's no changing now.
No, it frees us to accept it, I think.
So the theory has been that since his divorce, because there were like cheating rumors and obviously like a hot new bombshell entered the villa in the form of this young auteur who Edison was rumored to be in a relationship with, it seemed as though he was calling the paparazzi and had this huge like physical transformation into like hot boy and the Calvin Klein ad. Like, it all seemed quite calculated. I will say there are paparazzi shots of him emerging from the water on a beach in Malibu, and he already has like a lit cigarette. And I just think that is getting egregious. It's like not possible to be having like a shower and smoking a cigarette at the same time as like the water skims your 8-pack.
Like, it's just simply science that fire and water don't mix.
Right. And I think we've just got to give up the goat and embrace it with Charlie XCX candor of, yes, I call the paparazzi. Everyone does it. This is the reality. It's absolutely fine. I will say, I have been deep in the comment section of pretty much every Jeremy Allen White paparazzi shot that hits the online ether. And it is all people being like, this man's got to stop. When is he going to take a day off from carrying a bouquet? Even the photos with Rosalia, I mean, they are looking directly at the camera being like, hero.
This is so different than a Zendaya and Tom Holland kissing in the car, where it's grainy, yeah. It's a long lens shot, it is forbidden and secret, and they do not want to be seen. That was like a true paparazzi moment.
And that's why there are PR relationships. Like, that's why they exist. Like, we have seen Megan Fox, MGK style of how two celebs can rise the ranks by pairing up. And to put like the actor du jour with the new music industry darling, I mean, that kind of stuff feels cosmic and perfect. It only raises the profile of the two individuals in question. I mean, the stuff works. Like, there's a reason people get put on $50,000 retainers, and that is because this kind of like press strategy, it gets results. And ultimately, it gets both of those people more work, more visibility, more fame, more money, what have you. So, I mean, I found it tough to hear how much he's like wrestling with fame when I just feel like he has definitely wanted to be seen in the past.
I want to say, I need to say, this is how you know that you and I, me and you, Beatrice, are genuine, because the best thing we could do for the podcast is to marry celebrities. And here we are with two laymen, two non-famous. We're not here to rise through the ranks. This isn't publicity. We're just here because we have a passion for this.
My God, it took me a long time to work out where you're going with that. And where you landed was like, we both have no follow count, and that's how you know we're real.
We're real. We're not calling the shots here.
But who knows? I may trade you in for a hotter, more famous model. I get Glenn Powell. Like, actually, Glenn is going to take over as co-host in Uncover Girl. So
just next week, people tune in to find you and Emrata talking about a profile together.
I think they would promptly tune out, as did all the listeners of High Low with Emrata.
Oh my God. Be careful.
Oh my God.
Allegedly.
I'm spicy today. I'm spicy today. No. Sony canceled that show. Sony was going through rounds of layoffs. It has nothing to do with the quality of that podcast that I honestly listened to religiously and enjoyed at times.
It did the job.
It did the job. Of audio in the ears.
Yeah. Of drowning the...
God.
The thoughts out.
Drowning out the voices.
Yeah.
Two bitchy little witches sitting in the corner over our cauldrons, aren't we?
Sorry.
My God. No, it has been a true joy to be on this ride with you, my friend. My love. And like you said, there are so many hot to trot profiles they have to uncover. I actually can't believe it, because we're doing our absolute best to capture all of the biggies, roll them all out. But there are also so many famous profiles of people who aren't currently in the zeitgeist that are just like absolutely insane, where people have traveled to the site of like the the Wichita Massacre and like spent a weekend together and like fallen in love. There's a lot coming and we could not be more grateful to have you flipping through the pages with us.
Truly.
And in the meantime, keep ear to the ground, ear to the airwaves. We have such exciting news coming out. We cannot wait to share with you what is coming this month, back to school season.
It's primed to be a big one for us, is all we'll say.
While you're here, follow, subscribe, leave us a little review. We don't care if it's bad. We'll take it. We've got nothing to lose.
You can ream us. There will be no one will come for you like the lawyers come for us.
Catch us every week on Tuesday. We absolutely love you. And we will see you next week.
See you next week.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.